cost is to see what's behind the curtain. And when you see what's back there, you don't forget what you saw. You just thank God for keeping you while it's still there. Am I talking to anybody in this room? But to get to that backspace, to get behind that curtain, you have to clear the stage. You have to remove things from your life that detract from the presence of God, the peace of God, the glory of God. There are times in your life where you have to say, you know what? I have to be with the Lord right now. And all of this has to wait. There are times in your life where you realize, okay, I'm pursuing vision, I'm pursuing dream, but have I stopped pursuing Him? The times in your life where you have to prioritize and say, God, you have to be number one. This is one of those times. Because I believe what the Lord has for you is near. The problem is you can't walk in it without Him. Because it'll absolutely crush you if you don't have His glory going with you, His presence with you. You will not be able to sustain it all on your own. Not possible. And sometimes we pray for things. God gives it to us. Then we realize it wasn't the thing I really wanted. Father, it was you all along. It's you all along. Because I can promise you, the spouse you pray for without God, it's painful. The job you prayed for without the Father is turmoil. The life you pray for without the presence of God is havoc. So it comes down to just clearing the stage. And as they come and minister to you, I pray, God, you start clearing that stage so that God can show you, yes, what's behind that curtain, but also let you know the glory is about to show up in your life. Come on, put your hands together as they come and worship the Lord.
Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store. And know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, till your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to, yes you can. Sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. You clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol, and anything I want with all my heart is an idol, and anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can. That's the measure you must take to crush the idols.
Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Sung by a young man by the name of Jimmy Needham. If you want to know, if you want to know, Jimmy Needham, Needham, Needham. And it's a powerful song. And I encourage you on your fast, play that song. Play that song and really, really start clearing the stage. Hallelujah. Come on, go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 40th chapter. Ezekiel, the 40th chapter. Say amen. I have time, so I'll start reading. Verse 1 is where we will begin. And we'll end up in verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Word of God says, in the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. On it toward the south was something like the structure of a city. He took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like an appearance of bronze. And he had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. The man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything I show you, for you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. We thank you that the word of God is quickening, makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us that it changes our very nature, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word, anoint our ears so that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing this morning is that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do in this house. We are your people, and we will give you all the praise, glory, and honor for the things that you have done, for what you're doing at this present moment, and for what you are about to do in our future. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Y'all are too tired. Come on, man. Come on, look at them, smile. Show them those pearly whites. Everything God has blessed you with. Come on here. It's amazing to me. You know, let me say this morning before I start, because I have something specific for you today. And hold on for a second, Mike. And before I start, I want to say this. You know, you've heard me say, one thing we won't do this year is go through the motions. You've heard me say that. And so God has something specific for you this morning. It is not canned. It is not stale. It is not just something that, you know, somebody surfed off the internet. It is a specific word that is relevant and timely for your life. This is the reason why you decided to be here this morning, because you felt as though it was a necessity. Come on, somebody. And so before I start, because I'm not going to be real long, but before I start, I need you to understand this important principle right here. This is God saying to you what's about to be said. This is not me trying to hype you, trying to make you feel, I wish I had somebody here. This is God telling you, listen, I am about to reveal glory in your life in a capacity of which it has yet to be revealed. And that's basically the essence of the message before I start. And so I want you to know that there is something in you that has not been yet made visible, not to you or to anybody else, that God is ready to expose. It's not your mess. It's the miracle that's on the inside of you. It's not what's behind the curtain. I wish I had somebody to help me out. It's a new thing. Amen, somebody. And so this is not a humdrum message of condemnation. No, not so. No, this is a word from God to let you know there's a glory on the inside of you that have yet to be revealed, and it's about to come out, and the world is going to know and going to see the God that you say you serve. Come on, somebody. All right. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Come on, and look at him and say, I'm ready to return to glory. I'm ready to return to glory. All right, come on. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to move quickly here and get to where we need to go to lay the foundation very quickly. If you just give me a few moments, I'll explain everything that I'm talking about. I've been talking all month long about clearing the stage, removing things from your life that really have no purpose, that have no asset to you. They're simply there as props. They're simply there as decoration, but they're not vital to your existence. And more importantly, they zap you of your energy and your zeal for life because you have to take the time to sit there and fix them when they fall down. You have to take the time, my God, to deal with it so that everybody knows everything is okay. Look at your neighbor and say, some stuff has got to go. It's got to go. People have got to go that have no purpose in my life. Come on here. Places have got to go that have no purpose in my life. I wish I had somebody to preach to. It's got to go because life has to mean more than simply this. It has to be something greater to my life than what I am living at this very moment. And if I am believing God for all the things I'm believing him for and have the audacity to believe that it can happen, then I must have a part to play. And there has to be things in my life that I have to give priority to. And there have to be things in my life that can absolutely wait until I'm in the position. I wish I had somebody to be able to deal with those things. Oftentimes, God, we don't know, we don't realize what's on the stage of our life because it's become a part of us. Some of you this morning actually pressed your way out, but some of you just came to church because that's what you do on Sunday. And you wouldn't know what to do if you weren't in church. It's just a part of your life. But for others, you came because you realized, you believed that God actually had a word for your life. And so to be very clear, Ezekiel, I've taken him as a text, if you will, as a person, as a prophet, and certainly as a book. And when we begin to read, I've preached from it all month long. And we begin to read Ezekiel, we see God unfolds these four visions to him, and he gives him the visions of the four angels as of the heavenlies down by the river Chebar, and he gives them the vision of those four angels in the heavenlies, my God, of covering their face with their six wings and so forth and so on, one with the face of a man, one with the face of an ox, one with the face of an eagle, one with the face of a lion, so forth and so on. And then all of a sudden he gets a vision of the glory of God and the godlessness that is in the land. And as he sees the glory little by little departing and leaving from this place in the temple. And all of a sudden by the 10th chapter in the book of Ezekiel, the glory, the full glory of God departs, my God, the temple. And it was devastating to Ezekiel to be able to see this. But then all of a sudden, my God, later on in Ezekiel, the 15th chapter, he sees this vision of a burning vine. He sees God with this vine on fire, yet the glory of the Lord has left the temple, but there's still something burning in the spirit of the living God, because God wasn't saying to him, I'm leaving for good. He was just saying, I cannot dwell in this atmosphere. There has to be an atmosphere that is conducive for my presence, and I can't dwell in a place that no space is made for me. My God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting already. And so he's telling his Ezekiel, in order for me to show up in people's lives, they have to make space. I can't force myself into their life. They have to systematically choose what they're going to allow to be in their life, and they have to decide if I'm a part of it or not, my God. And so he shows them this burning vine, and then also the last thing, the last vision that Ezekiel sees is a vision of the valley of dry bones. In other words, it got so bad, everything was absolutely death, everything was desert, everything was dry, and from that posture, God began to speak to Ezekiel to let him know, I am not finished yet. Can you just touch your neighbor since you came out in 9-degree weather and say, God is not finished with me yet? God, I'm going to preach whether you like me to preach or not. God is not finished with me yet. The presence, my God, of God always determines the glory that is revealed in your life. If you don't allow the presence, you cannot have the glory. If you do not have an atmosphere that is conducive for the presence of God in your life, then you cannot display the glory of God in your life. If you want to know a definition of glory, glory, if you will, is the weightiness of God that is revealed in mankind of his splendor and of his wonder. It is the original intent of a thing. In other words, my God, the glory of an orange is not the orange. The glory is the juice that is on the inside of the orange. The glory of a rose is not the rose. It is the fragrance that comes from the rose. Consequently, the only way to get the glory out of those two things is one, to squeeze the orange, and to crush the petal, my God, of the rose. Touch your name and say, do you feel squeezed or crushed lately? There's a reason why you're feeling that pressure. Something is trying to exit out of your life and show the world you are something better than what they think you are. I came to tell somebody this morning that the world is about to see the real you. Go ahead and wave bye-bye to the fake you, the broke you, the defeated you, my God, the confused you. I feel like preaching to somebody and say, hello world, here's the real me, full of power, full of glory, full of joy, full of love, and full of peace. If you want to see the glory, you have to live in the presence of God. It's tough to live in the presence of God when you are faced with the fact that there's stuff in your life that is not pretty. It looks nice up here, but if I pull back this curtain, you're gonna see some stuff you don't want to see. And more importantly, we don't want you to see it. Because there's some unfinished things that are chipped and broken and ugly. Woo, look at that back there. Pull that back, Mike. Pull the other side back. Thank you, sir. There you go. Ooh, nasty. We come to church like this, but we live like this. In here, you got somebody ushering you in the presence, but at home, you see this. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And when you're at home, you're looking at this all the time, going, if they only knew. Here's the problem. God knows. And because he knows, he says, I cover you with my blood and with my grace. I cover you because you're not a finished product yet. So he doesn't let the world see the mess. He lets the world see the blood. I feel like preaching to somebody here. Touch your name and say, thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, I wish I had somebody to preach to in here. You sitting up here acting like you ain't got some chipped paint and some cracks and some hole. Look at your name and say, he talking right to you. He talking right to you. You sitting down, but he talking to you. We all got parts of our lives that look that way. You say, why don't you fix it? I can't. To fix it, to fix it, I got to take the cover off. So what God does is he works behind the curtain. Oh, God, I feel like preaching to somebody. You better be glad he's working behind the curtain of your life. Until it's finished. He does not expose you until you're ready to be exposed. And when he fixes you, I feel like preaching to someone, it's not that nobody ever knew you were broken. It's just that they can't see all the holes. They can see something was fixed, my God, but they don't have the full picture. So then it's your testimony to be able to tell them, if you only knew what used to be here, that is no longer. Once God can get you to the point of understanding how he works, then you allow him to go back there and do what he has to do. It's him who's trying to work and will of his good pleasure. God, I'm preaching about it and y'all shouting. Do you recall in Samuel's gospel, 1 Samuel, my God, when it was Eli who had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and he would not correct his sons, and they did idolatrous things in the sight of God? And the Bible says, so the people went to Shiloh, and they brought back the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the express representation of the glory of God. It was from that Ark of the Covenant where the mercy seat sat, my God, with the two cherubim angels with their wings stretched out and the mercy seat in the middle. From that place, the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of the glory of God, was seen throughout all of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant comes back, my God, to the temple. And when they bring it back in, Eli was the priest. And the Bible says, he who was enthroned between the cherubim, Eli and his two sons, my God, they had sat there and they were with the Ark of the Covenant. Do you remember that? Probably not that Sunday school story, but as they were with the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says, my God, that the Philistines fought and Israel defeated them and every man fled to his tent. So you had some battles and you won some victories. Why? Because the glory of God was with you, my God. But the Bible says that in that battle, the Ark was captured. I feel like preaching to somebody. And Eli, two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died when the Ark was captured. The glory was captured from a fight, from a battle that you lost. I feel like preaching to somebody. And the glory of God was removed from your life. So your praise is no longer what it used to be. Your prayer life is no longer what it used to be. God, you reading the word is no longer what it used to be. Going to church is no longer what it used to be. You're just here because you're here. You're just here to be here. I went to church and I went home. Watch some football. Well, not no more. Watch basketball. Whatever you watch. Went to dinner. Went to work. Went to Wednesday night. Went back Sunday. It's quiet. But no glory. No visible identification of God in your life. I'm not talking about as if we have to be immature to think that you have to walk around holier than thou all the time. This is not what I'm suggesting. I'm talking about a life that is lived in the understanding that there are parts of me that are not done, but God is working. There are parts of me that are not perfect, but God is working. And I know it's not perfect, and I realize it, and I'm doing what is required to fix it. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm seeking God in prayer. I'm not hiding from the fact that I'm angry. I'm not hiding from the fact that I'm lustful. I'm preaching way better than y'all should. I'm not ashamed of it, my God, because when your shame rushes out, rushes into my life, the grace of God combats that while you're trying to condemn me because I got issues. That's why I'm in church. I can't get help here from anybody. I'm here because I am flawed. I'm here because I'm seeking to be like Christ. I'm here because I want to be like him and not like me. I want to be a new creation. Old things passed away. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But we play this game, this game, this game, this game. The glory leaves because of the battles we fight. The glory leaves because of the battles we fight. The glory leaves, I'm preaching it here, because of the battles we fight. And the glory was captured. The Ark was captured. Hophni and Phinehas died. And the Bible says right there, they named that place Ichabod. A child that was born. Eli's grandchild, Ichabod. I feel like preaching. Because the glory had departed. We've seen in Scripture time and time again, a few times where the glory of God leaves, but it never stays gone. Oh God, I'm preaching about Yahshua. It always returns and it always comes back. And so the Bible says, hallelujah, that it was there in the 40th chapter, and I'm going to hurry up and get to where I need to go. It was there in the 40th chapter that the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, I'm about to rebuild the temple. I'm going to make a new city. I'm going to make a new temple. I'm going to make a new sanctuary. Huh, God, touch your neighbor and say, he make all things new. He make all things new. I'm going to make this new sanctuary. I'm going to make this new temple. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when I do it, my God, nothing is going to be able to tear it up again, to capture it again. Nothing is going to be able to taint it again. It's going to reveal the full measure and the full weight of my glory. And he tells them this while he's in captivity. And I know that many of you missed the first part of me reading this because you were caught up in the dynamics of the time and the year and so forth and so on and all of that imagery. But if you read the first verse and you read it with me, you'll understand that the Bible says that it was while the city was captured and on the same day of the capture, Lord have mercy, the Bible says on the same day that the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me. You mean to tell me he got a vision of the city being captured? He was already in captivity, but the day he saw the city being captured was the day he saw the glory returning. The same day, you don't hear what I'm saying, where God shows him you're going to lose the battle, was the same day God showed him you're going to win also. The same day he showed him, yes, you're going into captivity, but I'm not going to leave you like that. So the same day we lose is the same day we win. I feel like preaching to somebody. The same day you go through all hell is the same day you get all victory, because God will never leave you in that condition. You missed that. Y'all are killing me here. You missed that. Let me hurry up and finish. And so now he shows him how he's going to restore, if you will, this new temple and this new city. And he tells him, I'm going to make a new gateway to the temple. I'm going to reroute some things. I'm going to change direction in which you walk and how you get there. Isn't it funny? My God, I'm preaching to somebody in here. Isn't it funny? The way you normally would go to pursue the stuff God has called you to, it's not the way that you have been able to go. The normal paths that you would normally take, the people that you would normally contact, I am preaching way better than Yahshua, it's not working for you right now. And you're trying to figure out, God, why is it? I've been there before. I know these people. And God is saying, I went ahead of you and I made a crooked place straight. I paved a new road. You can't go that way anymore. Can't go that way no more. You can't go that way no more. There's a new path. I'm preaching better than Yahshua. Touch your name and say, there's a new path. Come on here. Ah, God, when you usher in a new presence, there's always a new path. So the way you used to do things, it's not going to work anymore. And you're confused by it. And God is trying to tell you, don't be confused. I made the new road for you. I made the new path for you. I made the new connect to a different person for you. You're confused about the new people that are showing up in your life. And you're counting on the old folk that you used to count on. I'm talking to someone, but the old folk ain't returning your phone calls, and they're not answering your emails, and the new people say, I want to help you, and the old people say, I'm acting like I don't know you, and you're still stuck over here with the old people because the old people were props for the new people that God is trying to bring in. I don't have to talk to everybody. I just need to talk to someone. Almost. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a new path. Come on. With a new path, my God, the presence of God is not new. It is the same. He is the constant. I left all of that out. He is the constant, my God. But he provides the new path. With the new path, then, there must be a new praise. There must be a new level, a place of how I worship the Lord. Because praise is the ideal environment for mankind that God created. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. The presence of God, my God, requires praise. It is a prerequisite for God to show up. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Touch your neighbor and say, your old hallelujah is not going to get it done this time. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And you're sitting here looking at me just as plain and it's not getting it done. You're going to break out in a new level of praise. Why? Because finally you're going to see some stuff that was broke is now fixed. Some stuff that was wounded is now healed. Some stuff you were afraid of, you're now as bold as a lion. Slap your neighbor and say, I think I feel my new praise coming on. Come on here. Ah, Lord have mercy, our God. Praise is something you can do at any time. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, when you know what's going to happen, when you don't know what's going to, I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continue. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a new path. Come on here. And there is a new praise. There's a new praise. Mm-hmm. See, the presence of God releases the glory of God. Huh. When you start putting all these things in place and you prioritize and you know that God's got you covered and you understand what he's doing in your life by carving out new paths and new direction and introducing you to new people, God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, you don't mind giving him a new praise. And when you give him a new praise, that praise releases the glory that was locked on the inside of you. My God, because you have a greater appreciation for what Christ has done in your life. And it doesn't quite matter if the stuff you're really concerned about shows up. You're just grateful that he saved you and that he's keeping you. The presence of God releases the glory. And when you have all these things in place, my God, when all these things are in order, God will manifest his presence and release his glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is not something that can be manipulated. The critical factor is your attitude towards the Spirit of God. The critical factor is your attitude, my God, towards the Spirit of God. God responds eagerly and willingly to those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to want this, man. I got not hope for it, not wish for it, want it. You got to purposefully demand it of the Father because it is he that placed it on the inside of you. And you got to go to God with new praise and say, Father, whatever you place on the inside of me, don't let me die with it. I want all the world to see what you created me for. Don't let me die with this book in my spirit. Don't let me die with this idea in my mind. Don't let me die with this dream in my heart. I'm preaching to somebody here. God responds eagerly to the willing, to those that want something. To those that want something. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to be poured out? Do you want to be poured out? Do you? I don't know. Do you want to be poured out? Or do you want to be filled up? I would rather be poured out so I can be filled again. Oh, God. When Ezekiel got the vision, the man that looked like bronze said to him, "Let me show you. Show you. And when I show you, you got to declare it to all of Israel. You got to let everybody know. My God, you can't keep it to yourself. You've got to tell somebody, Lord, what God is doing in your life. You can't keep it to yourself. You ain't going to do it, but just help a preacher out because I'm closing. And look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to prophesy your future right now. You don't even sound halfway anointed. You don't even sound halfway anointed. Don't you sound halfway anointed? Come on, try it again. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to prophesy your future. If they don't look convincing, turn to somebody else and say, no, don't say nothing about my future because you don't even look like you want to talk right now. Find somebody that knows that they want to speak into your life. Y'all not here. If they're looking at you like, I'm about to prophesy, you say, don't say a word. It wasn't until, I'm closing, it wasn't until, I left so much out of this message. It wasn't until the valley was full of dry bones that God commanded Ezekiel to speak to a situation. It wasn't until it looked absolutely hopeless that God instructed Ezekiel to prophesy to the situation. It wasn't until everything was stripped and the curtain was fully peeled back and the valley was as dry as it could be and there was no hope and no life that then God said to Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? Touch your neighbor and say, do you think, my God, you can have the glory that this man is talking about? Do you even think it's possible for you to be everything that God has called you to be? Because if you cannot think it, then you cannot prophesy it. My God, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I don't mind shouting hallelujah to a situation that looks dead and looks dry and looks... Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to speak into your life, whether you like it or not. It looks dead, but I prophesy anyway. You shall be full of the glory of the living God. Everyone standing on your feet. Standing on your feet. There's the anointing. It just showed up. I said, there's the anointing. It just showed up. Well, God, I feel the glory coming. I feel the glory coming. I feel the glory coming. Listen, man, you don't have to be, I'm saying this for people who need to hear what I'm about to say. I'm saying for everybody, okay? I don't quite care why you came this morning. The fact of the matter is that you're here. Here. And God told me 2 weeks ago, I got it in my journal. 2 weeks ago, I was praying. And God said, whoever is there, February 15th, speak this word over their life. I lie not. I'll show it to you. In my journal. I didn't know it was going to be 6 degrees and I didn't want to come to church. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, my wife sipping a cup of coffee. Like, it's nice and toasty in here. Y'all trying to play me and act funny. I wrote it down in my journal. Because I've come to the point where I don't question God no more. I didn't go, why? I didn't say, well, what's going to happen on February the 15th? I just wrote it down. Say, yes, Lord. And he said, whoever's there on February 15th, speak this word over their life. I said, okay. And I wrote it. I said, what do you want me to say? Tell them the glory yet to be revealed gets revealed today. 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 God, I just felt that anointing. I just felt that anointing. You know there is more. I'm talking specifically. You know there is more to your life than what you are living. You know it. You know it. You sense it, you feel it, you know from the depths of your soul, there's more to me. And every time you try to let it out, you get hit, kicked, beat, pushed back, told no. God, I'm talking to somebody in here. And now your mind has you thinking, well, maybe it's not to be so. God designed this moment for you to tell you the devil is a liar. It is so. Romans 8 declared, the earth is travailing, moaning and groaning, waiting for the glory to be revealed, the manifestations of the sons of God, waiting for you to show up. And let the world know, here's my gift, here's my dream, here's my idea, here's my talent, here's my anointing, here's my calling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fact of the matter is, the glory is so weighty. It's a weight to glory. That God had to wait for you. Watch me now. He had to wait for you to prioritize godliness before he could reveal it in you. Had you got it 5 years ago, I'm preaching better than your shouting, huh? You would have thought it's all about you. But now you've been crushed enough, exposed enough to say, thank you, God. It's all about you. So now, he can reveal. Think about it this way. Stop playing for a second. Think about it this way. Stop playing completely. Stop. Think about it this way. When Lazarus died, Jesus could have spoke to Lazarus' body from wherever he was. He did not have to wait. And we always preach he waited, you know, for the time for the death and blah, 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 blah. Jesus could have spoke from wherever the moment he got the news. And the moment he got the news, he could have said, Lazarus, get up. It didn't matter where he was. So, oh God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. So for God to do something, Lord have mercy, that doesn't mean that he has to be absolutely in the moment. He could have did that from way from where he was. Why did he wait? because he wanted to reveal another level of his nature to the people that were around him. He wanted them to see, this is my purpose, resurrection. You don't get it. He wanted them to know, this is what I've been talking to you about all this time. I've been preaching about me dying and resurrecting. Now let me give you an example of it. And this is it. So it wasn't about Lazarus. It was about Jesus. That's why he said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why he said that. And sometimes we think it's Lord have mercy. Sometimes we think it's so about us. And it's not. But I came to tell you this morning, now let's go, let's get out of here because I want you to get home. There's a glory that you have not seen yet. Listen to me. You ain't gotta, this ain't no show. Just get this in your spirit. In you right now is a glory that no one's seen. You've dreamt about it. You've thought about it. Oh, God. Huh? And every time you try to display it, something bad happened. Something troublesome. And it made you go back and retract and say, God, maybe this is not so. God told me to tell you specifically, today is the day that that glory shall be revealed in your life. Mark it down. February 15th, 2015 was the day God revealed the next level of glory in my life. Now give him praise for it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Give him praise for it. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you. Spirit of the Lord says, 30 days, over the course of the next 30 days, you will begin to see the glory revealed in your life. See, you don't hear what I'm saying. Over the next 30 days, your phone's going to ring. Your inbox is going to be full. Text messages are coming. People are looking for you. I'm talking to somebody. Where your purpose can be revealed. Where your glory can be revealed. On full display. Do you hear what I'm saying? The world is looking for you. And you're about to be found. And you know when they find you. Yeah, you still got some stuff to work on. But you're not ashamed of it. Because you know you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I'm preaching. My, you don't feel sorry for yourself no more. Come on here. You got a new boldness about you. And a new awareness of your identity in the Lord. Come on, somebody. The world's looking for you. 30 days. Somebody better hear this, man of God. The next 30 days. New people calling you. Looking for you. Offering you opportunity to display your glory. 30 days. And when they come, tell everybody. Tell the world. Hallelujah. You ain't got to tell me. I don't care. Tell the world. Let them know. I was at a service where nobody was at. Y'all ain't said nothing. And the man of God said, this was going to happen. And it happened. I believe that 100% with all of my heart. I hope, God, you were blessed this morning. Come on, lift your hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God's face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. Keep give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as a shield. His angels have kept themselves round about you, and his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night.